The big question is this: how does a beauty professional who is amazing at their service actually charge what they're worth and avoid attracting clients that are a pain in the butt? How do they become the go-to expert in their space and get their creativity and ideas shared with others so they can build their following without being stuck behind the chair or in their salon?
Those are the questions, and this podcast has the answers.
My name is Jordan.
And I'm Katie, and welcome to the Real Beauty Bosses Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Real Beauty Bosses Podcast. Jordan here, excited to introduce to you guys Jill Payne. She's the owner of the Eclectic People Salon. She is a hair extension specialist and as well a Lanza educator. She is amazing at what she does. I had the pleasure of meeting her about a year ago, and it's been amazing to see how successful of a business she's been able to build in just a short period of time. I'm super excited for you guys to hear Jill Payne's story, as well as talking about, you know, how to manage and train a staff in a salon, and how to be consistent and continue to grow no matter where you're at in your business. So let's go ahead and jump right in to talking with Jill Payne. Your salon now for coming up on a year, you said, right? It should be a year this next month. Is that right? Is that what you said?
It will be in December.
In December. Awesome. So that's super exciting, right? The 1 year anniversary. You guys planning something fun for that?
Oh, yeah. We're going to have some parties in our cities and trying to enjoy being a team together.
Awesome. Good to hear. So you kind of went from transitioning to a stylist, right? And now you're the lead stylist and salon owner and operator of the Eclectic People Salon in Lubbock, Texas, right? So maybe I think it'd be super helpful if you could kind of tell people maybe just your backstory and, how long have you been in the hair business, at least when you first get started, and maybe bring us way back to where it all began.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. So I have known since I was probably 3 to 4 years old that I really wanted to be a hairstylist and really wanted to work in a salon. And so kind of as my life sort of progressed, I graduated high school, went to cosmetology school, and kind of got to do what I've always wanted to do, which was awesome. But at some point, you really want to kind of get to run your own show. And so to get to do all of the things that I like doing, and then also have a bigger platform such as a salon to get to kind of introduce new clients to and stylists to and get to kind of share that with them, it made sense for me. So it was really, really fun to get to kind of take the things that I've, really loved doing my whole life and then get to teach other people how to do them, and not just how to do them, but how to do them well.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
So anyway, that's kind of, I started out as a hairstylist, went through Mission Salon, and from there kind of moved on to a booth rental type salon where you are self-employed, but you're not the owner, it's just you. And then from there, also started working with a professional hair care company as an educator. And then after that, it really just kind of fueled my love for education. And so opening a salon and getting the help from other people, just, it really does make sense. And it's really fun to get to see it come full circle.
Of course, yeah, that's super exciting. Yeah. That's awesome. So you actually started in high school, so it was kind of something you started to do just to make some side income while you're in school, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's side income for sure. So I got to do all of the girls, hair for prom, or IBS on like a ballet company, and got to do everyone's hair for performances.
There you go. Awesome.
I don't know. I really love it.
Awesome. So were you, and you went to Texas Tech, right? And what year were you at when you first started? How old were you when you first and did you kind of like get your licensing and stuff first? Did someone kind of bring you on and mentor you? How did you like really like get to actually working on your first head of hair?
It's kind of a funny story. I drug both of my parents, right out of high school they kind of had an open house at a cosmetology school that I wanted to go to, and I was about 110% sold on it. Literally weren't at the time. But they kind of went and got to see how much I liked it, and from there just went for it. But even before that, I got to kind of go around to a couple of hairstylists in my town and just shadow for a day and got to see kind of day in, day out what it would take and if it was something that I was into or not. And so after I did that, I was really just more in love with it than ever.
Yeah. At what point did you feel you kind of like really knew that you wanted to get, besides just being a stylist, you wanted to really be like an expert in the field, and like you started getting creative, right? You treat it more of like an art more than anything, right? Like how long did it take for you to kind of get to that stage? Was it right away? You were just super excited about it? Or did it kind of, was there someone that kind of was really good at what they did and it inspired you? or maybe you could kind of share, like, what at what point did you really want to get super creative with it and were having so much fun with it?
Yeah, so I am in no ways good enough to ever, I don't know, post or share any of the artwork that I do create as far as, like, painting and such. Mm-hmm. But I've always loved to paint to kind of de-stress or relax or whatever. And so having kind of that as a background made it really natural to mm-hmm. kind of translate that. Instead of painting on paper, it's really such an honor to paint on someone's head. They get to paint something that they keep and wear for months at a time. It's really, really cool. But I also got to kind of watch some bigger stylists all over the country and kind of see how they were doing it. Mm-hmm. And that really made it, I don't know, it just also helped kind of push and inspire me to do the best that I could do.
Awesome.
So it always made sense to me to really work hard and keep it as an art form instead of just a kind of mundane routine.
Yeah.
It makes it so much more fun.
Of course. So. Yeah. You got to love what you do, right? Because if you get to the habit of just going in and showing, and it comes to that, like, with any business. I mean, you know, you get started, you get excited about it, and then, you know, if you get into the routine where you're not enjoying it anymore, and you're just going into to work and doing the same thing over and over and over again, you know, it easily gets kind of, you know, it's not even fun anymore, right? So you have to kind of keep, you know, control of, you know, how you're managing your schedule and things like that, right? So at what point did you kind of realize that you wanted to transition from a stylist to actually owning your own salon? Was it kind of like just popped out of the blue? I know you said that the space opened over in Lubbock. Did someone reach out to you? Maybe you could tell us that story of how that all came to fruition.
Yeah, so I had been looking for a salon space for a couple of years and had probably toured over 20 to 30 different just locations and different avenues, different ways to do it. And just, I knew it was kind of, I don't know, there was nothing I could do to push back the feelings of I wanted to be a salon owner.
Yeah.
And I wanted to kind of own something bigger than just me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, honestly, I really have no explanation for the place that I ended up at. It literally just kind of fell into my lap. It was really cool. So
that's awesome.
Just in a way that there was no time, it was just meant to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And did you kind of, at what point did you know that that was something that you wanted to do? Was it, like a year or two in, where you were really enjoying what you were doing, were you kind of like at a place where you had a steady client base, or was it just kind of something like when you first got started, like, wow, that's what I want to do, is own a salon?
Yeah, so I think it was always something inside of me that I wanted to be a salon owner.
Mm-hmm.
However, I also really do believe in, you know, having a steady clientele base and kind of having your own business go first.
Yeah.
I know it's really fun to kind of talk about how creative it is and how, you know, artsy everything is, but you really need the numbers to own it too.
Yes.
It's the complete other half. And so for me, just to feel comfortable financially opening a salon and not putting undue stress on my employees or, you know, on people close to me, that was a really, really big deal for me. So I was kind of waiting, you know, just on the right time and on my finances to kind of look the way I felt like they should look before owning a salon. It for sure pays off. You kind of need a lot of a savings account to go ahead and, you know, make all of your salon ownership during some period. It really is a key part.
Absolutely. And at what point, or I guess maybe we could bring it back, how did you kind of manage growing that initial client base when you first got started out? Was it more just kind of connecting with people in your area? Did you kind of leverage social media? What was, like, the number one thing that kind of brought you to that first, you know, solid client base that, you know, kind of, what was the point where you're like, okay, I'm booked up now. Now I can kind of look a little bit more forward, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that makes sense. I really feel like the first, you know, at least year of being here, I was taught, at least, you know, do a good job, provide an excellent service, mm-hmm. and, you know, get people to refer their friends, have people come in, all of that good stuff. So we all know all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever my clientele really started kind of exploiting in the best possible way, like whenever I kind of grasped the concept of it's so much better to have a fan come in, such as from social media,
mm-hmm.
than to come in as a walk-in.
Yeah.
So when someone comes in as a fan, they're going to trust you. They are so much less likely to leave you or be skeptical of you and your abilities.
Mm-hmm.
And so your client retention is so much better if they already like you.
Exactly.
They've never sat in your chair.
Yeah. What do you feel you were really doing that kind of started to get you a little bit of fan base. Were you posting every day? What kind of strategies were you taking? Was it just kind of a day by day? You were just documenting and sharing what you were doing, or how did that kind of work out best for you?
Yeah, I feel like I experimented with it at first a lot and found that really the change was whenever I quit posting only hair videos and only hair pictures, as crazy as that sounds, because that's the kind of client you want to come in, is someone who likes, you know, the hair that you create.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever I started kind of letting people in on who I was as a person, I actually saw my client grow more than that.
Yeah.
Than any hair picture I've ever posted.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Super. So maybe what was maybe kind of the, when you did decide to that you were going to own your own salon, you said it kind of just fell in your lap, right? That it worked out the way you wanted to, right? What was, I'm sure when you first got started, it was kind of a little bit overwhelming, you know, never having done something like that before. What was maybe kind of the hardest part when you were first like starting out? Let's say like you closed on the salon space. What did you do next, and what kind of struggles did you experience along the way that maybe weren't expected?
Oh gosh, I kind of feel like we went through all of them.
Yeah.
So I kind of rebuilt agent staff, and then we've been making different kinds of improvements to the building, and all of that good stuff that you think about. And however, the main difference was really just learning how to do so many things at once,
mm-hmm.
and how to delegate and how to, you know, kind of step into the role that you wanted to be.
Yeah.
For me, I wanted to be the leader. I wanted to be, you know, a strong influence role of better girls in here. You know, just to kind of step in and own it,
mm-hmm.
and believe it is really one of the hardest things.
Yeah.
But, you know, having a really good staff is absolutely everything.
Yeah.
It makes your day so much easier, so you actually enjoy what you do again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. We love your girls in the salon. They've always been nice to us when we come by too. So how'd you go about like
awesome.
Finding them? What was kind of, did you already know them from the space, or how did you really get your first group of girls that, and how many did you kind of think was a good start? Because I know you've got, how many chairs do you guys have in the salon that are just on the, not the commission side, the regular side?
So on the other side, on our internal side, we have 8 chairs,
mm-hmm.
and almost one of those is rented out right now.
Awesome.
But kind of an accurate, it really has a lot to do with social media.
Yeah.
You get to share what your business is about, what you try to do, where the bar is, as far as quality goes. And then on top of all of that, girl and therapy, listen, setting aside the time to make it a priority is really helpful for us. And you're in our space every day.
So make sure it's mutually different. Yeah. And how did you really go about finding the first few girls to rent out? You said you were just sharing what you guys were doing. Did they reach out to you and ask if you had any openings? Is that how it worked?
It did at first. Outside of that, you know, we were also sponsoring hosts to, you know, kind of engage interest. Mm-hmm. But then once we started getting it does seem to work out better, though, if people come in first.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. At what point did you really, like, after you, you know, started getting your girls together and things like that, and you were planning your opening date, when did you really, I'm sure that was pretty stressful, right? Well, first of all, what was that time frame when you first, you know, signed the lease spot at your salon? When did you figure out this is when we're going to open? And what happened in between that gap?
So in between that, there was a lot of preparation in a very short amount of time. So we started with, I had one commission girl and 3 booth rental girls.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, the booth rental girls, they pretty much handle most of their own stuff. And from day one, we took clients on the commission side,
mm-hmm.
and just made it a priority. And I wanted to kind of fall in what my salon, not just the salon, but my personal salon would look like,
mm-hmm.
before we hosted a grand opening.
Yeah.
And so because of that, we actually were open for 3 months. We started getting things set, getting the building the way I wanted it to look, getting the atmosphere the way it should be, and conducting a lot of training,
mm-hmm.
before we had our training. So that way, it could kind of already reflect who we were instead of who we wanted to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And at what point were you kind of like at the point where, you know, all right, we're doing this, I can do this. You know, at what point, like after you guys opened, was it like, you know, kind of like, ooh, we got through that part, now we're just ready to rock and roll. Was there kind of like that, like, kind of relief feeling when you first kind of got things into motion, you know, the first week or so? Or did it take a little bit of time to really kind of be like, wow, this is awesome, we're here?
I feel like every day it becomes a little more of that and a little more of that. Just as many steps in front of the other as we can make is always a positive thing.
Yeah.
And the main thing that I do try to remember is just to give it time, and that if I put in work and if my goals put in it, then it becomes what I want it to be. And it really, it paid off. But in that aspect, there really aren't any shortcuts.
Yeah.
You come in and you work day in and day out to make it look more and more like you want it to.
Mm-hmm. Did you kind of have kind of some goals or plans that you talked with your girls that you guys kind of set for yourself to at least kind of hit in those first few months? Or kind of what, I guess when you're first starting out is probably the most questions I have, you know, how do you kind of set those goals for yourself? Like, we need to be at this place on our first opening month, and, you know, maybe in a few months from now, we should be, you know, at this pace. Did you guys kind of get together and collaborate and set those goals for each other?
Yeah, absolutely. So, something I really believe in is checking your number. You would be so surprised at how many people work in the salon industry and they never look at how many clients they're retaining, how many clients they're losing, the dollar amount that they're bringing in, the dollar amount they're saving on products. You would be really surprised at how many people never even look at any of that.
Yeah.
And so for my girls, we do have set goals for them, and we have monthly meetings where we all sit down, and it's kind of a staff push report.
Awesome.
So we get to kind of look and see where we're at and, you know, kind of strategize whenever we don't meet our goals for better ways to get things together.
Awesome. So you guys do meet once a month and kind of collaborate. You guys are team effort, right? I mean, that's what business is. You got to make sure that everyone's held accountable and everyone's working for the same goal. So that's pretty cool. What are some of the biggest struggles or difficulties that you've seen along the way? What's kind of been, have you ever had those like hair-wrenching moments where you're just, you know, feel like you're going crazy or anything like that? What's maybe just a handful of a few different like struggles that you've had along the way since you got started about a year ago?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like all the time there's something new to kind of overcome and something new to push past to make it better.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the main things that I feel like, especially me as a salon owner, that I've had to become comfortable with is constantly inspiring other people. At the end of the day, yes, you want your employees to gather a strong clientele, and yes, you want them to be, you know, as excited as you are, but they're working in your salon.
Yeah.
It's your dream. And so it's ultimately up to you to be the leader and to keep motivating people and to not get tired of it.
Yeah.
Eventually, I feel like we all kind of get sick of motivating other people because we feel like they should do it.
Yeah.
And I truly feel like as a salon owner, somehow, you literally have more motivation than anyone else. That's why you own this salon.
Yeah.
And that's super cool.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, it's up to you.
Yeah.
And so I would say the biggest struggle is just treat every day like a new day.
Yeah.
And to come in, you know, fresh and not get tired of really doing what you signed up to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I can totally relate to that too. You know, when you are a business owner and you have a team that you're working with, you know, you definitely, it's tough when you have to kind of get people to be almost as motivated as you, right? Because you can't make someone get super excited about something that you're super excited about very easily, right? It takes, you know, kind of, it takes, you know, real connections and real leadership abilities, which is, how have you kind of managed being able to do that? Do you feel like it's been just your personal relationships with your girls that you've really developed? What if there was one thing in particular, I guess, that's kind of helped you be able to really motivate them? Because that's what I struggle with as well. You know, we have a team here of like 7 people, and, you know, I can be as motivated as possible and try to get everyone fired up, but, you know, you can lead the horse to water, but you can't make them drink it, right? And so what have you felt like kind of gets your girls motivated and fired up? Do you think it's just kind of the atmosphere of day to day, you know, you're pepping them up? What do you feel has kind of been successful for you as far as, you know, keeping everyone positive state of mind, staying motivated and staying on track?
Yeah, it really is day to day. And I feel like having that monthly meeting helps a lot.
Yeah.
But even further than that, at least once a month, I will individually take my girls to lunch and talk about not my goals, but their goals.
Love that. Yeah.
And that's helped so much. It's so easy to let one by one, let them kind of fall through the cracks and not feel like they're as important as the rest of the team.
Yeah.
Which can be further from the truth.
Yeah.
But it's hard to kind of always be providing that atmosphere even for them. Just like you want them to provide that atmosphere for all of your life.
Absolutely. I love that. Yeah, I can completely relate to that as well. What's since you've been starting out, what do you feel has been like the biggest achievement that you have kind of, I know you just got promoted to Alonza Educator, right? That's super exciting. That means you're definitely making some progress, right? What are some of the major achievements that you've kind of been like, yes, I'm doing it?
Yeah, kind of a big thing for me has been brand recognition.
Yeah.
And it's been kind of cool. People that I've never met have come up to, not just me, but girls that work for me, mm-hmm. and said, oh, you work at that community salon and talk to people.
Awesome.
And so every time I hear that, it kind of makes your day.
Yeah, that's super cool. I'm sure, like, you know, when you start to put in all that hard work and, you know, people start to notice, it starts to feel pretty good, right? You know, it makes all the hard work worth
yeah,
it.
And
people you don't even know are noticing, you know, what you're doing. That's awesome. One last question I have for you before we get into some of the questions that I received. And for those who are on live or whatever, wherever you'll see this, I did compile, we got about 100 questions from different people in the space. And just kind of, we just asked, you know, what's your number one question about attracting and keeping clients, but also growing your beauty business? And so it could be, you know, women that are stylists behind the chair every day that are looking to really make the jump like you did. It could be, you know, people who are in your position and things like that. I've got a bunch of different ones I've kind of I shared with you some of them before we talked here, and so we can get into those here in a second. But the last question I really had for you is, how do you feel like you maybe have transformed as a person along the way since you made the decision to first get started? Do you feel like it's really, you said you have to learn how to do a lot of different things, right? How do you feel like that's really transformed the way that you, you know, wake up every morning? Have you really had to find ways to keep yourself motivated? I'm sure there's been the ups and downs as there is. I know for myself personally, you know, there's some days where you're just like getting stuff done every day, you know, running task to task, but there's other days where you're just like, you know, I'm struggling, right? So maybe how do you feel that you've kind of managed that, but also how do you feel like you've grown over the past year since you first kickstarted?
Yeah, I would first of all say I think I've become a much more open person. It's different to have an entire team looking up to you for success.
Yeah.
And so you really have to give up your right to kind of just stay inside of your insecurities. Mm-hmm. That's what you're literally asking your entire staff not to do every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And so my units is bigger. It's a huge difference. And something I really like to do that I feel really, really strongly about is on Sundays are my only day off.
Mm-hmm.
And I take it really easy.
Yeah.
I don't care about the salon, you go click on it. I try to answer a very minimal amount of text messages and phone calls related to business.
Mm-hmm.
And just to kind of reset. So I also have a family, a husband, a dog with me. And it's good for me just to get to do something different. On Sundays, I just get to kind of reflect on the success we have had,
mm-hmm.
and also reflect in ways that we can do better.
Yeah.
And I can't do that without a quiet place. And
yeah.
So you have kind of 1 day a week where it's not about anyone else.
Yeah.
It's just about you as a person.
Mm-hmm.
It's been really, really good for me.
Yeah, I love that. I feel like that's kind of something that I neglected for a long time when I was first starting out with the business as well, as, you know, trying to go. It kind of, you know, you may be feeling like you're getting a lot done, but you're really not, because you're just so, you know, focused on, you know, the little things that you never take a step back and kind of, you know, take a breather and kind of, you know, take at least, you know, 1 day to yourself. And so I could learn from that for sure. As a business owner, I think, you know, everyone, any entrepreneur, business owner, you know, anyone who's as motivated as ourselves, like, I think that's the number one thing. You know, the ones who are really motivated and really trying to rock and roll, like, it is super important to kind of have that, you know, day that, you know, you take time for, you know, your family and your friends and yourself, you know, treat yourself a little bit instead of, you know, trying to hit the ground running every single day. You know, you can easily kind of get in a loop where you're really not getting anything done, but you're making yourself tired as crazy, right? So I love that. Thank you so much for kind of sharing that story. I think that would be, you know, really insightful for a lot of people who are kind of looking to do what you've done, but also, you know, who are kind of in the position too. Because I feel, at least from the questions I've seen and the people that I've reached out to, that's really, you know, the hardest part is, you know, I'm great at what I do, but how do I kind of take that and you know, train other people and share it with other people and develop, you know, something bigger than just my own, you know, client base, right? And so, you know, I'm sure you just said it yourself, you know, there's a lot of things you have to learn along the way, right? And I think everyone can kind of learn from that. But let me kind of pull up some of the questions that I had for you, you particularly, that I felt like would be best you suited to answer. So you said, Right now you're booked out for 3 months, right? That's awesome. How have you kind of managed to be able to kind of book out in advance and expand to a client base of that width? I'm sure, you know, when you first got started, it was, I know you were still booked out a little bit in advance, but now you're, you know, really expanding in depth. How do you kind of manage the future bookings and things like that?
Yeah, two things I really need in. The first thing is something that we were real taught, hopefully, in even So with my clients, we try to pre-book at least 2 weeks in advance, and that is in huge. Because as your business grows and as you begin to service more and more and more clients, your original clients are not the ones that you want to have a hard time getting in the deal.
Yeah.
And they're not the ones that you want to kind of neglect.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really push pre-booking. I don't guarantee anything with my clients. They're not pre-booked. So just kind of wording it in a way for you and the clients to stay on a cohesive team has been really big in getting booked out that work. And the other thing is just, I quit only advertising if not my limit. I think that we tend to think that people come to us because we're convenient.
Yeah.
And that shouldn't be the case. People should come to you because they believe that you will do a better job of their hair than anyone else. And if you have any doubts about that, then do you like go to an application.
Yeah.
Go get better at what you do every single day. And it really does pay off. So I started advertising to larger cities around me. And my calls will even fly in. And then we'll make a day out of it. It's so much. And it's so flattering. And to be booked out in advance also lets you turn time off.
Yeah.
Really nice.
That's awesome. Yeah, absolutely. I can completely relate to that as well. It's super important to, kind of be able to you want to get paid for what you're worth, and you also want people to really value you more than just price. And I think that's kind of, a flaw in today's society almost, is that, lowest price, that doesn't ever mean highest quality service. And, there can only be one lowest price. And it shouldn't be you, right? If you're awesome at what you do and you want to share that with other people, you should never look to, lower your prices to appeal to, certain people. Using like promotions and things like that are great to kind of at least attract people to kind of get your awareness out there, right? But, when you're kind of at that more, higher peak where you're, the best in your area at what you do, or you're looking to be at that top level, you should never look to lower, price to the marketplace and things like that, right? Because people who are going to go for the lowest price probably aren't your ideal clients in the first place, right? So I think a lot of people have a lot to learn from that, because, if you try to, keep your prices low just to appeal to those people, you'll be, behind the chair like crazy, your whole day is going to be spent, you're spending a lot of hours in the salon working with lower ticket clients and things like that, which, they may be great and things like that. And, you may be, staying busy and things like that. But when you want to kind of, move from that level, I think that's probably the biggest thing that a lot of people can learn is, you have to charge what you're worth. That'll make your time worth it, right? Because once you kind of get that brand awareness and kind of reach out to the right people, when you have a kind of a fan base, at that point, people will pay you, whatever you charge to work with you, because they know you're going to do an awesome job. They've seen your work, and they have that connection with you up front, right? So I love that you have kind of, and you even shared that with me yesterday, you said that you really, charge what you're worth is what you told me, right? So how have you really managed to kind of scale that out? I know, has it increased since you first started your salon, like your pricing and things like that? How do you kind of make those decisions?
It has. I wanted to make sure that within my salon, it was a thing that I wasn't just here to, own a building or to the landlord, but I really wanted to be a lead stylist. And so I didn't just drop my pricing up for no reason. I didn't do it all at once. I did it very gradually. And so my thing is that, charge what you're worth is, it's really more about what you do based on your market, based on your skill set. What do you feel like you should get paid out of? What makes it worth it to you to walk in the door every day? The moment you lose that, you're sitting at burnout. And your job isn't the same. As a stylist, one of the biggest things for me originally was, oh my God, I could be in charge of a business. I could be self-employed. But then why in my business would I feel a dislike? To clients or my environment, whenever it's really up to me. And so the way that I determined what I was worth per hour was I didn't ask my clients, because if you ask your clients what your per hour, they're probably going to say, you know, way lower than what it actually is.
They don't know.
But, yeah, no. But the way that I really ultimately went after doing that is I looked at bigger cities around me to see what they were charging, to see what elite stylists were able to plug. We really think, I don't live in a huge town. It's not, and what I found is really within kind of looking at people who are close enough to drive them to come see you within, you know, 4 to 5 hours away. What are they paying to get their hair done? Because just because where you live should not determine what you're charging.
Yeah.
And so it was a really big deal to me. So that's kind of how I got to the bottom of what I thought I was worth per hour.
Yeah.
And honestly, none of my clients have complaints. I don't really notify my clients when I raise my prices because it's so subtle.
Yeah.
And because it's due to the market and due to, as well as the education that I'm also providing for, you know, for myself, as well as being an educator, I also really believe in education. And so there's no reason for me not to be receiving it. So if they charge what you're worth, you have to make sure you're worth what you want to be worth.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you got to get the skills and the education first before you can, you know, be able to, you know, up those prices, you know. So yeah, absolutely. And I think that's another thing that, you know, a lot of people may struggle with is, you know, they get started in their beauty business and, you know, they get that first skill set and they get like licensed or certified to, you know, get kickstarted. But at that point, they kind of stop learning, you know, they stop looking at what successful people are doing and trying to reverse engineer and see, you know, what those top, you know, level service providers are doing so that they can kind of, you know, follow the path that's already been paid for them. And so they kind of, you know, since they stop learning, they may be great at what they do, but if you just keep doing the same thing over and over and again, you're not going to be able to grow and, you know, expand, right? So I think a lot of people have a lot to learn from that. And even myself, you know, when we first got started with our business and helping, you know, salon owners and business owners, you know, expand their client bases and get some client attraction methods, you know, we started out, you know, we got our first couple of clients and it was great. And we knew we could get a lot of results for people, but then it got to the point where we started working with everybody. And for some people, you know, like you just said, we kind of slaved ourselves into working with some people who, you know, wanted to, us to discount our services. And so we kind of, you know, since we were just getting started about, you know, a year ago, about the same time that you have owned your business, you know, we started to kind of work with people based off what they wanted us to do for them. And we tried to do everything. And it got to the point where, like, we were just working so much and it wasn't even worth our time at that point. Because we were trying to, you know, serve, instead of like thinking about ourselves and, you know, how like we want to work with the right types of people and people that are going to pay us what we're worth and appreciate what we're doing. And so I completely relate to a lot of things you're saying. And I think you don't really realize that until it happens to you and kind of smacks you in the face that, like, man, I'm not getting paid what I'm worth. And I'm also, you know, not enjoying what I'm doing anymore because I feel like, you know, I'm attracting people who don't appreciate what I'm doing, right? And so I think that's another point that, you know, is huge that a lot of people can learn from. One more question I did have for you, too. This was a big one. I had a lot of questions about training your stylists and your girls. What have you done to kind of manage your training and what has or hasn't worked for you?
So how we start out is, I know it's old school, but we cannot manage things. So I know you all have them at your salon. Mm-hmm. And they're really easy to look at, but they're awesome for training. They don't care what you do to them. But especially for higher ticket items such as, say, balayage and highlights, we really want to master it on a fake person like a mannequin before we ever can match you, you know, on a real person.
Mm-hmm.
And so after I'm confident you can do it on a mannequin, then what we'll do is we'll come up and you will start to see me with one of our upper elite stylists so that you can kind of get hands on it right. And so you can feel comfortable with your skill before you ever come to, you know, a full price aim client because they expect you to know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay, that's understandable. And so after that, then you will have these people at the mall. Usually it ends up being friends or family, and we'll say, hey, how would you like to come in for a half price service? We really want to be good at what we're doing, and we'd like to, you know, offer you a discounted price while we're living.
Mm-hmm.
So usually things like this, it's easy to get carried away with. You know, ultimately, we also want to get full price for our services and go home with my paycheck. No, wrong with that.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, sorry, get their call.
Oh, you're good.
And so, anyway, but after after we've done the fitness things and are confident you can deliver the service, cool. We also use social media to advertise that you're training. Mm-hmm. And that not just the salon, but that specific employee cares enough about what they're doing to make sure they're doing it well. And generally, that attracts the clientele right off the bat.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, I think training is not easy, right? It's something you kind of have to take with. You learn along the way, right? You know, you don't realize how much you don't know until you start training someone else, right? And so.
Oh yeah, that's so true.
Yeah, absolutely. So I only have a couple more questions for you here. I know you got to run back. Appreciate you again. This is your lunch break, so taking the time out of your day to do this.
Yeah.
Is awesome. What do you feel has been the most successful promotion that's gotten the best results as far as getting people in the door, new clients?
As far as getting new clients in the door, let me think. In my opinion, I really want my specific salon to be a hair color salon.
Mm-hmm.
And so attaching different promotions, such as a free haircut to a color service, it worked really well for all of us. You know, after they're already shampooed, you know, after they're hair colored, all of those things, it doesn't really take that much time to give a really good haircut. And as a salon owner, it also doesn't require very much product as a hair color service. And so I feel like kind of you can attract any client you want to, and I want to attract high-paying fans as clients.
Yeah.
And so getting them in the door for a color service has been the most beneficial because they also become repeat clients. They're getting a service that's going to need to be redone eventually.
Yeah. Absolutely. Katie was just giving me a thumbs up on that because I think that's like what you want to focus on is, you know, if you're going to grow, you have to focus on like getting really good at your higher ticket services, and you have to be able to, you know, not only just get really good at it, but also get people to, you know, want to spend that amount of money with you, right, rather than anyone else. Because when it comes to Katie over here has dyed her hair, you know, 100 times, and it's because she never has found someone really that it does it the best that she likes. And so, like, it's super important that, you know, when someone kind of finds, you know, someone that does it the right way, they'll stick with you, right? And so I think, like, you know, when you do those higher ticket services, you know, you may not get, you know, a huge inflow of people right away, but it only takes, you know, like a handful of people to come in for that service that may end up sticking with you, and you get kind of like a lifetime value from them, and you're able to kind of turn them into those clients that, you know, stick with you for a long period of time, right? And so that's what we try to focus on is, you know, how can we get, you know, those higher ticket clients to come in, because we know, you know, if we can just get them in once, and that's why, you know, discounts and things like that work to get someone in once, but you don't want to do them all the time, is because if you can just kind of, you know, get that right person in your chair and, you know, do a good service for them, they'll want to come back over and over and over again, right? And so I love that. And the free cut and color has worked very well for us, hasn't it? We've done the free cut with the balayage. We've done the free cut with the highlights. We've done a couple other things too. And I think the coolest thing right now is also kind of growing into sharing your educational side of things too, right? You know, since you're, you know, a Lanza educator, I like the way we've kind of been able to get people to go through like that hair quiz and things like that, because they can build a relationship with you just right away without you ever having to be there, right? And I think the coolest thing too that we're probably working into doing more and more with you as well is the kind of like the weekly hair tips and things like that, right? You know, if you can provide a lot of value to people and giving them those tips and things like that, you'll start to really build that fan base, right? Because you could post a bunch of pictures of the heads that you're working on and things like that, but, you know, people, you know, want to see some value, right? You know, they want to know tips and tricks and, you know, what have you picked up along the way being in your space? And I think you've done an awesome job of that too. So right now you do have like a personal page, right? And then that you're using Finem to share that. Maybe tell us a little bit about now that you're an educator, how does that, how do you really share what you're doing on a day-to-day basis on there? Because you get very creative from what I've seen. Kind of like come up with things on your own? Does it come to, you know, pop into your head and you just do it and record it? Or like, how do you kind of manage being an educator and being almost working to be an influencer in the space, right?
Yeah, so it just became really important to me at some point that we have to share what we're doing that works with each other. And so just like I enjoy going online, and I enjoy posting on Instagram, and looking at different salon owners that do things well, I find it inspirational. But something stronger than inspiration is actually jumping in and doing something.
Yeah.
And so I really enjoy kind of sharing what I am doing, not only as a, oh, I hope I get a lot of likes and comments, but if I can get someone else the feeling that I've gotten from people that I look up to, that would be huge.
Yeah.
And so the way that I kind of find the creativity is just day to day. I truly just post what I would like to watch.
Yeah.
That's really just it.
Yeah.
And so the day I started believing that things I thought were cool were relatable to other people too, it really changed the way that I viewed social media. It became way more personal. I know that social media a lot of times gets a bad rap for being fake. And so instead of adding to the problem, I'd rather be part of the solution and those things that I'm actually doing in real life.
Yeah, I think that's, you just got to be real and, raw with people. I mean, I think that's what, is going to resonate with people more than anything. You're not trying to, be someone that you're not, or, show off in any way, just documenting your day to days and things like that. I think, what we're doing right now, like Facebook Live, it's crazy how you can just, do that, once a day or, once a week even, and, reach a lot of people, and, you could share it in groups and things like that. And it's a tool that I think everyone should be using as far as, growing their personal brand side of things, because, you can kind of just, talk to a bunch of people all at once, and maybe you don't get, a bunch of user interactions at first, but if you are consistent with it, I think that's when you start to see, the results. And I think in your case as well, when I was looking at a lot of your pages and things like that, it's just about, the consistency, the creativity, what are you bringing to, value to people that, they're not getting anywhere else, because it's such a flood out there of just content of crazy stuff that doesn't even matter, So how can you provide stuff that's actually useful and helpful to people, right?
Yeah, if someone's going to sit there and waste, 3-4 minutes watching a slime video, or cut through a slab of jelly, what you're doing is important.
Yeah, exactly. I think, a lot of people have a lot of things that they can share with people, but they just don't want to get in front of the camera and, just do it, right? I mean, you start to find your voice along the way. I mean, when I first started, doing recordings and, even, just talking to a lot of strangers and people that I don't know about, how I can help them and things like that. It's not easy to do at first. But once you kind of get in the hang of it, it's like you just make it a habit and you get better and better and better at it, right? So I think that I don't want to cut too much into your day. I know
that one teaches you how to get entrepreneurs.
Yeah, exactly. It's tough, right? last question I have for you before we wrap things up to here. And I'm going to probably do this with some of the other girls I interview as well. And what I'm trying to do, like I said, we're putting together kind of like a little video summit of some probably the highlights from this, as well as maybe a compilation of people who are kind of in the space that you're at, where they're transitioned from stylist to salon owner, or even if they're doing a different beauty service, like massage therapy, spas. Microblading is, a big, new hot area that I've seen that a lot of people are trying to expand their businesses into. I'm trying to interview a lot of them and, get the inside of, what it takes, day to day to be able to, manage a team, how you can manage, a heavy client base, how do you attract clients, how do you keep them, and how do you, get paid with your worth. And so, we're going to be calling this the Beauty Bosses is the name of the group. And so, we're going to put these videos together. And it's going to be awesome. I can't wait to kind of see how it works and kind of get different insight from different areas. Because I feel like I've tried to do a lot of research on the area since we started working with you and some other girls in the space too. And we've really like focused. There's just a huge gap of like, an education gap almost. What do I do when I'm at that point where I have, either not enough clients, too many clients? How do I, kind of train someone to work with me or under me and things like that? I feel like there's not that much education out there on that. And so the best way to share that is to talk to people who have done it, right? And so last question I have for you today is what's one key tip, if you could give one tip to everyone, any ladies out there that maybe help them, those that are looking to grow their business, what one key tip would you get them for those that might be getting stuck or are struggling a little bit? Just one key tip, if you could say one thing to them.
Oh, I would say, honestly, mine's kind of wrapped up in two tips. First thing is, I would just tell them you are important enough to have a following, important enough to charge what you're worth, and you're important enough to pay for education for yourself. And the second thing is just be consistent. Don't get bogged down by what you think success looks like.
Mm-hmm.
So success comes faster and slower for different people. But if you stay consistent, you will see it. It will tip you. And so I would just be consistent and believe in yourself.
Love that. Perfect. Awesome. Before we leave, last thing, where can people learn more about what you're doing and follow you so they can get your tips? Where's the best place to reach you?
Yeah, you can follow me a couple of places. My Instagram is Jill Payne here. J-I-L-L-B-A-Y-N-E, and then hair, H-A-I-R. And then if you want to go see my salon and kind of see how we're doing, it is eclectic_people.
Awesome. We'll share that in here too so people can go and check you out. And my goal is to kind of, with a lot of this content and the people that I talk to, kind of create a group around it. And so that way we can kind of get a movement almost of a lot of people in the beauty industry to kind of, you know, share stories and talk about what's working, what's not working. And, you know, I'm not in the beauty space, right? I don't cut hair. I don't do, you know, eyebrows or anything like that. But I know how to attract clients to you guys, right? That's something we've been very successful at. So, you know, I really want to get a feel for, as we're trying to, you know, help as many people as possible. And I know you're looking to do the same with your, you know, personal brand. You want to really influence and, you know, kind of help people get through those sticking points. I think we can all kind of collaborate and be able to do that together in a way that, you know, could be Beauty Boss is what it's going to be, the group. So once we have all that together, I'll be able to share it to you. And we'll be sure to kind of send some streams from all these different people's following so we can all kind of get some insights and find, you know, people who are great at what they do and great at educating what they do. And I think it's going to be awesome. So I really appreciate your time today. We've got to follow Jill Payne Hair and Eclectic People Salon, right? Sound good? Awesome. Okay.
Yeah.